As we open the Word of God, let's seek His presence. Lord, we come here for worship and praise, as part of that, to hear Your Word. May our hearts be open to what You say. May our ears be listening. May we take in and be fed for this life as well as the life to come. And bless me, Lord, as Your servant, to proclaim Your word and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to John chapter 21. I was here on Easter Sunday, and someone was talking to me after the service, saying that he had peeked ahead at the Gospel of John. That was someone here, and was starting to say a few things about our scripture reading this morning. I said, don't give away my sermon, please stop. So he agreed, and I'm preaching it now. John 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Congregation of Jesus Christ, 3 weeks ago was Easter. Do you live in the power of Easter's story? Do you live like yours is a risen Lord? Does his resurrection make a difference in your life? It should. And I have 3 points as I want to look at that. 1, the resurrection life of Christ. 2, the old life before Christ. And 3, the new life with Christ. Now, our Bible reading begins and ends with the same thought expressed by my sermon title, Jesus Revealed. That word revealed frames our Bible reading. We find it 2 times in verse 1, 1 time in verse 14. Jesus was revealed. Yes, he suffered, he died, he was on the cross, he was buried. Yet Jesus was revealed 3 days later. He was seen. He was apparent to the senses. And I hope that you realize the message that John is giving, a message he already gave, a message that Jesus was giving. Jesus revealed himself, saying, I'm not dead. I'm not in the grave anymore. I'm alive. I have risen. And you can see me. Jesus revealed. As an aside, you all realize you can't possibly see someone who's still dead and in the grave. A message, he's not there anymore because he is living. Now notice what verse 14 says. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The third time. Remember the first two times? Time one, Easter evening. The disciples and other followers of Jesus were in an upper room. The doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And suddenly Jesus stood there in the midst of them. And time two, 1 week later, the same house, the same circumstances, the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them. And he said to Thomas, put your hands here at my side. See my hands. And then time three. This is according to John's gospel, don't forget. What we have in our Bible reading this morning by the Sea of Tiberias. Now, as an aside, we know from the other gospels and we know from Paul's writings, there were at least 12 appearances of Jesus, but John mentions three of them. Jesus revealed himself again. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Jesus revealed himself, but they did not recognize him by the Sea of Tiberias. Just like those followers of his on the road to Emmaus, they did not recognize him either. Or Mary in the garden, she mistook him as the gardener. He was revealed, but he looked different. His body was glorified. His body was, to use the language of Paul, it was a spiritual body, it was an immortal body, it was a glorious body, it was a powerful body. So their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Jesus revealed himself again. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now we have heard the Easter story so many times that it no longer moves us or stirs us or excites us, perhaps. But there was so much at stake. We need to go back one verse, the last verse of John 20. A verse I dare say every Christian should know and memorize. But these are written. Talking about Jesus' life, talking about his miracles, talking about the incidents in his life. But these are written, why? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you have life in his name. That's why Scripture was written for us, so that we believe. And by believing have life in his name. So there's so much at stake. Jesus revealed himself, we are told, by the Sea of Tiberias. In the Gospels, the sea is given three different names. It's called the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Gennesareth. But the Romans, they changed the name to honor one of their emperors, and they called it Tiberias, after Tiberius Caesar. And Jesus had instructed his disciples to meet him at this sea. The sea, let's use the old name, the Sea of Galilee. If you page through the Gospels, you will notice quickly that there is an awful lot of stuff that has happened by the Sea of Galilee. It's where Jesus did so much of his ministry. It's where he preached the Sermon on the Mount. It's where he taught and healed and loved. Where he multiplied the loaves and the fish. It's where he walked on water. It's where he called his first disciples to follow him. Meet me. Meet me at the Sea of Galilee, where all of these wonderful things have happened. All these wonderful things have been seen and heard. Meet me there. That should have been a tip-off to the disciples. Something was about to happen. Something great and wondrous, like all those other things. Now, verse 2 starts our second point by mentioning the disciples to whom Jesus revealed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Notice the first two names. In the Greek language, the first names are always important. That's meant to draw emphasis to them, to highlight them. And the first two names, Simon Peter, who denied him, Thomas, who doubted him. And there's a message there. What I'm about to write, says John, what Jesus is about to do, is a message especially to these two people. Peter, who denied him. Thomas, who doubted him. So what happened? Peter and Thomas and the others with them went to Galilee, and they waited for Jesus as instructed. Go there and meet me, wait for me. And we don't know how long they waited. But we do know they got bored and they got tired. And so Peter announces, I'm going fishing. And the other disciples replied, okay, we'll go with you. I am going fishing. Now, do you think Peter meant, well, I'm going to grab my pole and I'm going to sit on the dock and I'm going to put out a line and try to catch a fish or two? You know, that's the kind of thing that we might do. No, that's not what he has in mind. It's not just a way to spend some time or be with your kids or grandkids. In the original Greek language, the way Peter says it is very emphatic. And it means a change in life, a change in direction. And what direction is Peter talking about? What change is Peter talking about? Well, let's go back to when Jesus called Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and others there at the Sea of Galilee. He called them when they were fishers of fish. Not hobby fishermen. professional fishermen. That's what they did for a living. That's how they supported themselves, how they supported their families, how they paid for their bills. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. I'm changing direction. I'm going back to my old way of life of being a fisherman. And because he's a leader, the other disciples blindly follow him. When Peter went fishing, he took six other men with him. And it's always a sad thing when a believer leads others astray, and that's what's happening here. Now, what's wrong with what Peter announced? I'm going back to being a fisherman. I'm going fishing. Let's look at the call of Peter as listed by Mark through the words of Jesus. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. You see what happened when they were called by Jesus? You were fishers of fish, and now I am calling you, I am making you fishers of men. Immediately, says Mark in his gospel, they left their nets, they left their families, they left their boats, and they started a new life with Jesus. And for 3 years now, Peter has lived that new life with Jesus. For 3 years now, Peter has learned from Jesus how to be a fisher of men. And remember, he even got sent out by Jesus with the 12, with the 72. We can call it an internship. We can call it summer training. We can call it on-the-job training. After 3 years of all of this, Peter announces, I'm going back to fishing. What an amazing thing, what a discouraging thing to say after seeing the living Jesus two times already. But he goes back to his old career. He left his calling from the Lord. He went back to his old life before Christ. Do you know what Peter and Thomas and the other disciples were actually saying? No. We're not going to be fishers of men anymore. We're not going to be witnesses of Christ and to Christ in the world. Those 3 years, they mean nothing. They were acting like Jesus was still dead in the grave, though they had already witnessed the resurrected Lord. They went back to living as if Christ has not risen, as if the virgin birth and the baptism and the ministry and the death and the resurrection of Jesus did not actually take place. They were, let me put it this way, they were denying the risen Lord, but in a different way than Peter did on Good Friday. Now, I want to ask, are there times when we are like the disciples? Are there times when we act like Jesus has not risen from the dead? Are there times when we fail to witness to the risen Lord? Are there times when we act like we don't serve a risen Lord and Savior? Are there times when we go back to the old life instead of the new life in Christ? You know, in this life, we have trials and troubles and sickness, and even death. And we can face them as people without Christ, or we can face them in the hope of the resurrection. If we peek ahead in our Bible reading, or outside of our Bible reading, to verse 15, we hear Jesus asking Peter a question three times. Simon, do you love me? Do you truly love me more than these? And I've wondered, who are the these? The other disciples? Family? Do you truly love me more than these? Now they're standing on the seashore. And we are to see Jesus pointing to the boat, to the nets, to the fish, to the sea, to the hometown, to the old way of life. Simon, do you truly love me more than these? Do you truly love me more than your old way of life? And to reverse his denial, three times he's asked that, and three times Simon says, I love you, I love you, I love you. Jesus asked the same question of you and me. Do you truly love me more than these? More than this life? And the things of this life? Now, what happened when Peter returned to his old way of life? I hope you see the humor in this. That night they caught nothing. Nothing. Nada. A whole night wasted. That night they caught nothing. And of course they caught nothing. Peter forgot Jesus' words. Apart from me, you can what? You can do nothing. That's exactly what they did. After a whole night, nothing. Peter cannot expect a blessing on his labors apart from the Lord, nor can you, nor can I. Peter thought, okay, my will, my work, my talents, my effort, my knowledge of fishing in the Sea of Galilee, that would make me a successful fisherman. It made me successful before. It will make me successful again. But apart from the Lord's blessing, it all means nothing. Peter was sure he could always fish for fish, but he can't because the Lord, what did the Lord do? The Lord kept the fish away from his nets. That night they caught nothing. Hear this, O people of God, doing anything apart from the Lord can only lead to failure. It can only lead to failure if you, like Peter, go your own way, follow your own path, and not do the Lord's will. And then that brings us to verse 4. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Remember, his body was different, holy, spiritual. They did not recognize him. Children, do you have any fish? Now, I have to fault our Bible translation here. In the original Greek, it's meant to be sarcastic. Children, you haven't caught any fish, have you? And Jesus expects a negative answer. So there he is on the shore, kind of rubbing it in their face. Kind of like rubbing a wound, salt in a wound. Or hitting a guy after he's already down. You haven't caught any fish, have you? Notice their long answer? Nope. They have nothing to say. Have you caught any fish? Nope. That's what happens when you rely on yourself instead of on the risen Lord. That's what happens when you don't live in the power of the risen Lord. It leads to failure. For Peter, for Thomas, for you, for me. And this brings us to our third point, the new life with Christ who appeared. The old life is marked with self-effort. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to use my gifts and my charm and my abilities. That's the old life, but the new life is marked by divine provision. Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." That is fish. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Now I want you to imagine that you were one of the disciples that night. You're in that little boat, fishing all night. There are waves, there's the wind. You're rowing your heart out, going back and forth, in and out. Your muscles are getting sore, you're getting very tired. You're dropping the net on one side, you're dropping it on the other side, you're dropping it here, you're dropping it there. You're trying all sorts of things, all of the normal spots, the usual spots, where you always caught fish. You just spent a whole night doing that, and there's some guy standing on the shore. "Hey! Drop the net on the other side!" What's this guy talking about? Doesn't he know we've rowed our arms off all night long? Doesn't he know we've been going back and forth, dropping our nets everywhere? Doesn't he realize we're the experts? We come from this area. We know where the fish are located. Who made you the expert? And Peter, I can bet he was thinking something like, "Hey, buddy, why don't you jump in the lake?" Now, against all logic and reason, the disciples listened to that guy on the shore. They dropped their nets on the other side of the boat. And can you believe it? The net was full, so full, it's surprising the net did not tear and break. Now, Peter shouldn't have been surprised. Something similar happened when he was called by Jesus to be a fisher of men. But do you see what Jesus has done? He has provided for the disciples. It's a divine miracle. Now, we are told there were 153 fish, and people, different commentators and ministers get really excited about that number 153. I don't. 153, you won't find that number anywhere else in the Bible. So what does 153 mean? There were a lot of fish. That was it. Enough fish to feed their families. Enough fish to pay off their bills. But the point is, they were blessed only in the power of the risen Lord. And John, he has the scales removed from his eyes first, and he yells out, "It's the Lord!" And the disciples recognize it's Jesus shouting at them, and that's all Peter needs, and He wraps his outer garment around him and he jumps into the water. He's not going to wait for the boat to get to the shore. He is swimming with his outer garment on. Well, why would he do that? You know, yesterday was a nice warm day and I have a pool in my backyard. And did I put on my winter coat and then jump into the pool? No. Peter is looking a little bit ridiculous, isn't he? We swim without clothes, but not Peter. You know why? He wasn't getting dressed for swimming. He was getting dressed for the Lord. He loves the Lord. He's eager to be with the Lord. So eager he can get to the Lord fast enough. Peter gets to the shore. He's with Jesus. The other disciples follow. They pull their net up on the shore, drag the boat on the shore. And Jesus has breakfast ready for them. And he says, give me some of your fish. Come and have breakfast. And none of them dare ask, who are you? Because they knew who it was. It's been given to them by the Spirit for the scales to drop from their eyes. And even though Jesus' body is so glorious and holy and everything else, they know it is Jesus. Come and eat breakfast. Come and have breakfast. From the hands of the risen Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. He was their cook. He was their server. He provides everything they need and serves them. We have divine provision again. And we experience this provision every single day, for don't forget, without the Lord's blessing, all of our efforts mean nothing and come to nothing. And later this morning in the service, we see God's provision again in the Lord's Supper. He not only feeds our bodies, he also looks after feeding and encouraging our souls. Jesus revealed himself again. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. We have a choice, congregation. We have a choice. We can live without the life and the power of the risen Lord, like Peter tried to do, and the others he dragged down with him. Or we can live in the power of the resurrected Lord, commune with him, and enjoy his provision of all we need for body and soul. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for pointing to us. We always need to live in the power of your resurrection. In everyday life, and trials too, it's you who, Lord, who provides us all that we need and who gives us hope. In your precious name we pray this. Amen.